located inside an urban.
So you're okay with that now?
Yeah, I think it's going to open the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. Good morning. It's deadline day. We'll have some happy people, some sad people, some ambivalent people.
Yeah, that's it.
So let's get started. We've got
okay, I'm going to follow your lead.
Two members here, so we can go ahead and do their bills real quick, just in case we have a question for them. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3006. We've got these dash two amendments. Rosa Hayden, you want to tell us what they do? I was going to make Misty do it, but since you're there, you'll be happier.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Clem. My name is Cedric Hayden, State Representative for House District 7. There was two amendments. One was brought by the Oregon Department of Forestry, which is the Dash 2 Amendment. One was a coalition between the Oregon Department of Forestry and the advocates in the, which was the Dash 1. Through continued conversations over the weekend and whatnot, we have decided to recommend the, or I have decided to recommend the Dash 2 Amendments, which I think you will find is supported by the Oregon Department of Forestry since they wrote it. I think there's a minimal impact on it. Basically, what the Dash 2 is, it requests or requires Oregon Department of Forestry to create a list by January 1st, 2018, or for the 2018 fire season, of contractors based in Oregon that they have determined to be eligible to be dispatched to fight fires. And then disclose it on a website. The main part of this bill was the disclose on a website so that those contractors could look up to see if they were on that list of possible contracting. And again, in the abundance of caution, I want to state a potential conflict of interest because one of my small businesses does firefighting services for the federal government, both aviation and ground-based, and those have access to the Oregon Department of Forestry to utilize. Any questions?
Okay. Sorry, questions for Representative Hayden from others? Okay. How about a motion?
Okay. Chair Clem, I move Dash 2 amendments dated 4/17/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the Dash 2 amendments dated 4/17/17. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So adopted.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3006 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 3006 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, send the floor. Representative Hayden, would you like to carry it?
Sure.
All right. We've got another member here. Let's see. And maybe I can clear the deck for a few other people who are sitting around waiting. House Bill 2786, the removal fill a bill about wetlands delineation, and if it's not on a map, we're not going to move that forward today, so it'll die, but we are going to convene a probably extensive work group, as we talked about the other day, on this issue, aiming at February but we'll see how far we get. But there's some serious consideration there between the federal program and the state program and who should be doing what, so we want to take our time and get that right. House Bill 3429, which was the tying the endangered species definitions to these various lists of threatened and endangered species, is not going to move forward today. I think that we will see how it goes in rulemaking with ODFW and revisit it if necessary after the rulemaking procedure. And the what is that one called? It has to do with fish something or other. Gill netting is what I think of it as. 3425, that's not going to be moving forward today if you're here for that. House Bill 3053, the Task Force on Water Infrastructure, isn't going to move forward, but I am going to establish a work group that basically mirrors the bill. So we will have a task force or a work group. We just won't pass a bill to do it and spend state money. We'll just do it from this committee.
Which number? I'm sorry.
3053.
3053.
It's on
the last page. There.
Thank you.
And House Bill 2866, fish carcasses. We're not moving that forward, though. I'm pretty sympathetic. It just looked like the agency was moving towards the 50% goal of return on fish carcasses. I think they were at 42%.
What was the number on that?
2866.
Last page. Right up above the...
Yep.
So we can get a few people out of the room. And there may be one or two more, but I'm waiting to hear back still from the Speaker's office on at least one. Okay, so let's deal with House Bill 3012. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3012. Representative Lang, do you want to come tell us about these dash threes?
Sure. Thank you so much, Representative Chair Clem and members of the committee. I'm Ann Leininger from House District 38, Lake Oswego in Southwest Portland. As you know, this bill is intended to support preservation of existing historic structures on rural residential land, so that's outside urban growth boundaries, by enabling the a buyer of that land, the owner of that land, to build a new home without requiring as a predicate to building a new home the deconstruction, the demolition of the historic home. So these dash three amendments memorialize what we described in our last public hearing. The dash threes weren't ready and weren't posted on OLIS at that time, but what they do is make it clear that the scope of what constitutes historic has been narrowed somewhat to extend from 1850 to 1945. Jurisdictions may impose restrictions on this. It's a permissive thing to allow. Jurisdictions can choose to impose additional restrictions to enable people to participate in this program, things like, and you must comply with all of the existing restrictions, like complying with all rules regarding septic systems. You may have to be required to use the same water source. You may not subdivide the parcel. So the idea is you preserve historic homes and potentially that historic dwelling, which you can renovate and improve up to 120% of the original footprint of the house, could potentially be used for rental housing, for in-laws, family members. But you can't subdivide the land and further parcelize areas in rural residential by subdividing and selling the land. So what this does is essentially memorialize what we talked about last time. The amendment is now ready. We've worked closely with 1,000 Friends, Farm Bureau Realtors, Association of Oregon Counties. We included some input from Multnomah County most recently, and Restore Oregon. And I think this is narrow enough to both protect historic structures, enable them to be used for housing, you know, not require the waste of these structures, and still allow further densification in the future when that land comes into the UGB, which was an important concern raised by a number of people in the process. And also I want to thank the home builders who testified in support, at least over in Housing and Human Services. I don't know if they did again over here. Big team, lots of work. We would be grateful for your support of the dash three amendments and your working the bill.
Okay, any questions for Representative Leininger? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a motion.
Chair Clem, I move to adopt the dash three amendments dated 4/12/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the dash three amendments dated 4/12/17. Is there any discussion? Any objection? If not, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Clem, I move House Bill 3012 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 3012 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, is anybody keeping track of the number of bills that chip away at land use planning and You know, at some point, can we all admit that land use planning screwed up somehow? Because we get bill after bill after bill after bill.
I'm sure there are people keeping track out there. Mr. Honeycutt comes to mind. On the other side, maybe 1,000 Friends comes to mind, and they keep track of all the bills on both sides. I don't know who will admit what, but I'm pretty sure they're keeping track. Any further discussion? I think maybe, I don't know if we have any objection. Okay, then. Seeing none, that's so adopted. Representative Langer, would you like to carry it? Great. Okay. And let's do 2031. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2031. Colleagues, this is the bill I mentioned the other day. We didn't have, I can't remember if we had an amendment or not. We now do if we didn't. The dash ones, it allows a little more time for the Metolius Resort site owners to carry out their transferable development opportunity that was created in 2009. It maintains the same counties that were on the list of places that the transfer development opportunity could be used. It changes some requirements of the transfer development opportunities, and it also asks, there were three eligible resort site owners for these TDOs. It also requires that if they still want to use these sites, any of those three need to notify DLCD that they're still interested in using these sites within 30 days of the bill passing. And that's the dash ones. Any discussion on, oh, motion first, sorry.
Chair Klim, I move to adopt dash one amendments dated 3/27/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the dash one amendments dated 3/27/17. Any discussion? Any objection?
Chair Klim, I move House Bill 2031 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2031 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? The one thing I will say, colleagues, is it's been a very instructive learning experience for me to sort of do battle with someone, because these resort developers were people that, unfortunately, I found myself on opposite sides of in the original 2009 bill, and like putting down putting down the sword and picking up the plowshares. We've been working together ever since to finally make this happen, and I think we're really close to making it happen. And I think most people who were here for that battle will be glad when they never hear the word Metolius and TDO again, because this is about the fifth time we've passed an extension. But having said that, I really highly recommend that we pass this bill and try and get it completed this time. Any further discussion? Any objection? Okay. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2214. This is Representative Viles' Expedited Housing Permit Fund. This would go to Ways and Means. It creates a fund but has no money attached to it. Okay. Take a motion on this one.
Chair Klim, I move House Bill 2214 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2214 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, bill passes. Off to Ways and Means. We just got Representative Helm here, so let's get to wildlife. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2883. Actually, you know what? Let's hold on 1 second on that. Let me get a couple more done. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2371, Industrial Hemp Seed Regulated as a Flower Seed. Okay, this is the dash fours. Can you remind us what the dash fours do?
Chair Klein, members of the committee, the dash fours establish the Oregon Industrial Hemp Agricultural Pilot Research Program. It establishes a program for labeling and certification of agricultural hemp seed. It allows accredited independent testing laboratories to test and approve industrial hemp and make sure that licensing requirements don't apply to storage or homegrown industrial hemp under four plants. And it expands the definition of homegrown marijuana and talks a little bit about THC concentration limits.
Okay, let's have a motion on that.
Chair Klim, I move to adopt the dash four amendments dated 3/31/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the dash four amendments dated 3/31/17. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so adopted.
Chair Klim, I move House Bill 2371 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2371 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Brock Smith.
Thank you. I'm co-sponsor of this bill. This is just the companion legislation to the other bill that we've already passed out of committee.
That's right. Yeah. Any further discussion? Any objections? So adopted. Rep. Rocksmith, do you want to carry it, or should we have Wilson do it?
Wilson, I guess.
Okay, Representative Wilson.
If Wilson's the
marijuana. Okay, let's do Pollinator Forage Pilot Program. Representative Reardon probably didn't come down for this. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2535. We've got these dash one amendments. It's been a while, colleagues. Remember, this was the bill about there's various invasive species we want to get rid of, but the bees actually like these invasive species. So this is a program to try and, or pilot program, I think, to try and rid the, you know, blackberries and put in natural native species that bees also like. The dash one amendments, I know we talked about that being expensive. The dash one amendments do something that gets the fiscal off, but I forgot what they do. Can you remind us?
Sure, Chair Klim, members of the committee, the dash one amendments authorize ODA, the Department of Agriculture, to engage with the county and special weed control districts to coordinate the pilot program, and allows ODA to seek gifts, grants, or donations from public and private sources to fund the pilot program.
Got it. So it makes it discretionary, and they can take in private money, but we won't spend any state money on this at this point. And does that also get our sub-referral to Ways and Means off, or no? It still needs to go there.
Chair Klim, members of the committee, it still has a sub-referral based on the some employee time in the Department of Agriculture.
Okay. Representative Esquivel.
Yeah, thank you. This does not guarantee that this is all private money, though, does it?
No, that's probably why it has to go to Ways and Means. Well, is the fund language limited that it only can be
limited only? It is. Is it limited only to private?
Do we have those dash ones I can look at real quick?
Because it's $267,000.
Do you want to come up and talk about your bill? Okay, Farm Bureau, come talk about it. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair Klim, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jenny Dressler with the Oregon Farm Bureau. The Dash 1 amendments are an attempt to make this program discretionary. There are still some shells in there that we were hoping to amend out, and if we are able to access public funding, then the public funding option is available. For the time being, there's quite a bit of private funding available through Bayer, Syngenta, and then other, and then a group of nonprofits as well. I know the canola association's interested in getting involved, and so there's a lot of private dollars available, and that was more of the intent, is to look at internal programs within the Department of Agriculture and see where we could essentially combine programs and facilitate this pilot program in a way that looks at different forage opportunities and supporting pollinators. So.
And you're thinking you might try and work it more as it moves on?
I think that there's one or two word changes to make this program more discretionary to avoid that state budgetary impact, but also access those private dollars. So we're looking at all options available.
Okay, yeah. Because, you know, if we send it to Ways and Means, it's going to compete with Farm to School, and I don't want it to compete with Farm to School. Just FYI.
Thanks. Yes.
Okay. All right. Representative Barreto.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. So will it take money from the counties, and did you say only if public funding is available?
Chair Clem, Representative Barreto, I don't believe it will take money from the counties. The counties have weed boards, and we made a push for noxious weed funding earlier this year. Those bills did not move forward, but I believe in the Department of Agriculture budget that biocontrol position was funded. This is meant to facilitate those counties that do have weed programs to provide more of a pilot program that they can access as well. So not meant to take that county money, but meant to facilitate on-the-ground work that's already happening.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Sorry.
Hello.
Any further questions about this? It would go to Ways and Means for further discussion. Okay.
Chair Clem?
Yeah, Representative McEwen.
You're from the Department of Ag, if there are any questions. I don't know. That's helpful.
Does anyone actually have questions? If not, then we can move right along. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 4/10/17.
Let's get these. Okay, sorry, I'm getting this. There we go. Vice Chair McLean moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 4/10/2017. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2535 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2535 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Off to Ways and Means. Okay. Somebody's going to be excited. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2730. We've got some Dash 1 amendments. Representative Brock Smith might want to remind us of.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you look in the meeting materials, there's a rather articulate explanation from the those who are working on the Pacific Gales Golf Course. This bill, again, just fixes an issue that was unintended, and it's a good bill and should pass.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 4/11/17.
Vice Chair Springer moves the Dash, McLean, I'm so sorry, moves the Dash 1 amendments dated 4/11/17. Is there any discussion? Any objection? If not, so adopted.
Oh, sorry. Mr. Chair, I move to the House Bill 2730 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2730 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Power.
I appreciate the importance of this to Representative Brocksmith's district. I have a few golf courses that would similarly love exceptions, so I'll just be a no on the bill for that reason.
Any further discussion? Okay, could the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Power?
No.
Representative Brock Smith?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair McLean?
Aye.
Chair Klein?
Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to the floor. Let's see, who might want to carry this? Representative Brock Smith.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we've now Representative Helm. Let's get to Dash 3. Well, House Bill, let me open a work session on House Bill 2883. We've got the Dash 3s. This is our outfitter, naughty outfitter and guides, poaching out, well, I don't know about poaching, but violating of wildlife guides. Oh, yeah. And we've got these dash threes, which, Misty, can you remind us? They take out the term or charged, so the person will actually have to be convicted, and they align the penalties between the two agencies from 2 years up to 5 years, discretionary still for a judge, if I remember right. Sound right, Representative Howell? Does that sound roughly right? Okay. Can I get a motion on the dash threes?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash three amendments dated on 4/11/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the dash threes. Two, House Bill, where is it? 2883. Is there further any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2883 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2883 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, clerk. Oh, no. Is there any objection? So adopted. Representative Howell, would you like to carry it? All right. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2893. We've got these dash sixes. Colleagues, what I am requesting here is that we move this bill to rules explicitly for the purpose of narrowing the application of this bill. I had it at Eastern Oregon in the most recent amendments, narrowing it in Bend to Bend, not to kill the bill. The bill has been, I've been assured it won't die in rules. If there's a temptation to try and kill it there, remember we just sent use of land over to the Senate, and I can always try and bring it back to life there. So no trying to kill it in rules, but yes, narrowing it to Bend. That's my request to the committee.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2893 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Vice Chair. Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2893 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Discussion. I just want to say that I'm okay. We forgot to talk about it, and we just made the script, and you just read the script. I'm okay sending it with a recommendation to pass it to rules, actually, but I don't mind if it's without recommendation either. If the committee all wants to weigh in on your feelings about the base bill, you can. Otherwise, we can change it. I don't have an objection. The point is, go to rules, add Bend, and then move. That's the plan for this bill.
So do you want our opinion?
What's that? Yeah, if you have an opinion on that.
I'd say recommend with our recommendation.
Anybody else have strong feeling?
The only reason I think this is appropriate is because, you know, we're not getting to see what the amendments might be down there. Mm-hmm. And so what are we recommending? Because we know that you've asked that it be narrowed to Bend or...
But that doesn't mean it'll happen.
So how can we recommend something we haven't seen it worked on?
Yeah, you would have to recommend it as is at that point. And if you're not comfortable with that, then you wouldn't want to do it. Okay, I think that I at least am going to support the without recommendation to rules. I trust that it will happen down there, but I would rather not have a issue about the base bill when we're trying to get it to more of a consensus bill. So that's my opinion. Any further discussion on the motion to move to rules without recommendation, knowing what the purpose I've got in mind down there is? Okay. Any objection? Okay. Thank you, colleagues. We will see this one again. We got wildfire contractors done. We got historic. Seaweed. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3193. Remember, colleagues, these are the nice folks from Southern Oregon who came in and talked about their harvesting of seaweed that somehow got caught up and I forgot what, some other issue, and they ended up having to now drive to California to swim around and gather seaweed. And so now we're going to see if we can get them back into the Oregon waters. So, yeah. Okay. So let's get a motion on House Bill 3193, just the base bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3193 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 3193 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means for prior reference. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, off to Ways and Means we go. House Bill, let me open a work session on House Bill 3245. We've got these dash two amendments. Colleagues, this is the one we've talked a bit about relating to comp plan amendments and whether they're done at the city council level or at the planning commission level. And the issue that was raised kind of has to do with the fees and the cost of appealing these things up to the city council in certain jurisdictions. We had people who felt are very prohibitive. I'm pretty sympathetic to the fee discussion. I know the League of Oregon Cities testified that they don't really want us setting their fees for them. But I don't want to have this bill die while we have that fee discussion, because there's other land use appeals that people make that are also sometimes in certain jurisdictions really high. And I think it's possible that in other jurisdictions maybe they're too low too. And so I'd like us to spend a little time talking about whether it's appropriate to have floors and ceilings to make it so people aren't filing nuisance objections either, but cities aren't running their entire building departments off of these appeals, which makes sort of an access to justice issue for people who can't afford to weigh in. So I know there are people who would probably put this bill not pass until we resolve the fee thing. It's my city's one of the two that really would like it to pass. I feel pretty strongly that we should have the fee discussion, but just not damage this bill in the meantime. So that's, oh, we're not even in a motion. Sorry, I should have done that in the motion. How about a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash 2 dated 4/11/17 amendments.
Vice Chair McLean moves to adopt the dash 2 amendments dated 4/11/17. You've heard my speech. Any further discussion? Representative Power.
Just that I have similar concerns about the fee discrepancy between these two different cities. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, any objection to the dash 2s? Seeing none, so adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3245 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 3245 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative McLean.
Vice Chair McLean. Thank you. I am going to be voting no on this bill, only to signal that it maybe wasn't a 8-0, you know, vote, because I still think that there really are some of those issues that Chair Clem talked about that are out there. And I want to make sure that we are keeping the process open for as much review for folks that have to deal with things changing in their neighborhood. And also, I think that the one map, two map situation, where some cities use two maps and some people use one map, that there are some issues of review there that need to be discussed further. Because I believe that even though Salem has done a good job of saying that they can call it up if they want to, that there are some other folks that may not call it up, or that's not specifically said, you know, in this bill itself. So just as a vote to say there's still work to be done, both on fees and also making sure that the citizen review process and the review process doesn't get out of hand so more citizens don't have access. So that's why I'm voting no.
Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Power.
I just want to echo Representative McLean's comments. I'm a no on this bill, not because I don't believe that there is some efficiency to be had by having local planning commission make initial decisions, but I'm concerned that with high fees being a barrier to participation and appeals to City Council, and then additional fees beyond that to bring cases to LUBA, that I'd be interested in working on the question of fee and exploring that further, because I do think this is a little bit of a damper on citizen participation. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Are we on the amendments, or are we on the full bill right
now?
We're on the full bill. Yeah. Okay. Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Power?
No.
Representative Brock Smith?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain?
No.
Chair Klein?
Aye. Motion passes, and the bill is sent to the floor. And I'll carry this one. Okay. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3338. We've got these dash ones. Colleagues, you may remember this was Representative Hurd trying to find some efficiencies in who checks or who's in charge of the postings that are supposed to be being done under current law at gas station. Apparently weights and measurements and ODA is already out there anyway checking the pumps, so he thought it was a good idea to have them make sure the postings are done rather than whoever was doing it now that doesn't go out there very often apparently. And what do the dash ones do?
Chair Klein, members of the committee, the dash ones, they clarify that enforcement is done by weights and measures under ODA, and they link up with the statute to other fueling station regulatory authority under weights and measures.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated 3/29/17.
Vice Chair McClain moves the dash one amendments dated 3/29/17. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3338 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Vice Chair McClain moves House Bill 3338 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the bill referred to Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, off to revenue we go. Okay. So HJM 11. Let me open a work session on HJM 11. Committee members, I'll let Representative Brock Smith speak to this too, but he and I chat a little bit. We didn't get all the input that we probably should have in committee, and we think there might be a few more tweaks that we could make to this, and the plan here would not to have it go to rules to die, but to go to rules to have it work to see if we can get a little bit better vote. I think we could pass it, but we want to show the feds that we actually are pretty unified around how to help ONC counties. So I don't know if Representative Brock, well, let me get a motion first. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, I move the House Joint Memorial 11 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Vice Chair McClain moves House HGM 11 without recommendation to Committee on Rules. Any discussion? Representative Brock Smith.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You explained it. We need to get some more input on that. Representative Farr and Power has agreed to work with me on some language. I'm going to give her a lot of information on ONC counties. It's about this thick.
Can't wait.
And just so we can massage the language so that we can all agree that this is a good joint memorial, and we need to support our half of the counties in Oregon that are ONC counties.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Motion is to move it to rules. Any objection? Seeing none, off to rules we go. Let me open a work session. Let me go back. House Bill 2027. This is the dash ones. This is a gut and stuff relating to water. It has to do with the bridge over the Deschutes River that the Parks and Recs folks came and talked to us about, and then the residents from Central Oregon.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -1 amendment dated 3/31/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the -1 amendment dated 3/31/17. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2027 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that's a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2027 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, bill sent to the floor. I bet Representative Wisnant might want to carry that. Okay. Aquatic invasive species. Representative, I guess it's the agency's bill. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2321. And I've got these -3 amendments that I'm recommending. So let's have just a little discussion on this one. Colleagues, this has got a couple different components. One was the ability for the state police to send people back to the check stations if they refuse to stop at a check station for invasive species. And Vice Chair Springer had the concern about having it be a crime to not go back. And she's not here, so I'll speak for her. She spent a lot of time trying to find another way to get the police the ability to send them back, and eventually came to the same conclusion as the Marine Board that with LC, that there is no way to do it other than this. And the intention isn't to charge them with a crime, it's to get them to go back. But it had to do with they sort of have to be in the custody of the police to force someone to go somewhere they don't want to go. And she said she spent weeks trying to find any other way to get people to go back and just could not find any other way. So she became an advocate for the bill, but she's not here to advocate for it. So that was part one. Representative Witt had a good amendment. Do you want to remind us about the plugging the drain versus
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The concept is rather than trying to decide whether every last drop is removed, simply by removing the drain plugs, you have then satisfied the requirements to drain your boat.
That's right. So drain plug open. And then the last piece had to do with the exemption level that currently exists at 10 feet or below. And the Marine Board talked about the need to get some revenue and also have these smaller boats pay into the system. I've thought about it a lot, had a chance to talk to a bunch of people. I'm not personally ready to remove the exemption for these smaller boats yet, but I don't feel that strongly. So we've got both -2s, which move it down to 9 feet, and -3s available. And if the committee wants to have a discussion about that, I'm okay talking about it and going with the will of the committee. Usually you don't do this like this in front of everyone, but I didn't have a chance to really talk to you all. And so, or we can... the bill goes to Ways and Means, I think, after this. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't. It would go to the Senate after this. So do people have strong feelings about the exemption for the smaller boats? Representative Esquivel?
Then leave in place.
Leave the exemption in place?
Sure.
Representative White?
I'm with you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Leave it.
Yeah. Okay, so that would be -3s then.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -3 amendments dated 4/10/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the -3 amendments, dated 4/10/17. Any discussion? Any objection? So adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2321 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2321 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, off we go. Who would like to carry that?
I'll carry it.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We're still waiting on some paperwork on 2099. And we're getting close. Shellfish policy. Representative McEwen may get excited. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2784.
Chair Quinn.
And let's get a motion maybe on these dash ones.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash one amendment stated
3215 2017.
Okay. So how would you like it? Would you like it to be 321?
Maybe
315. Okay, so we're going to adopt the dash one amendments that are dated 3-15-17.
Chair McLean moves House Bill, the dash one amendments dated 3-15-17. Any discussion? Representative McEwen,
234.
Chair Clem, I want to thank the committee's support of this very large effort that's gone on for quite some time. This is a large piece of legislation, and I need to draw attention to a drafting error that we have found with one last look at this on page 13 of the 2784-1 amendment, and it has to do with the Shellfish Ecosystem Valuation Report. I just want to get on record that we will need to fix this at some point. I don't want to hold the bill up today. We could do it in the Senate, I believe, or in Ways and Means. But in Section 31, it refers to the State Department of Fish and Wildlife. In Section 33, it talks about the appropriation to do work, and it should say ODF&W for the $60,000 amount of general fund that will go to do this study, not the Department of Ag. So we will need to make that correction at some point as this bill moves through.
Okay. Further discussion?
Yeah.
Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the $60,000, is that paid for, you said, from the general fund? So so does that, is there a referral to Ways and Means?
Yes. It will go down to Ways and Means. And we can either repair this down there or do it over in the Senate. But I just want to draw attention to the fact that that when it was drafted, there was an improper reference there. My apologies for not catching it sooner.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I would like to move House Bill 2784 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Oh, sorry, just for 1 second. On the amendment still, one more speaker. Okay. Representative Escobar.
I hate moving anything out of a committee and relying upon another committee to make the changes, whether it be the Senate or to be in Ways and Means. I just don't like that policy.
I will support this bill, but don't misunderstand me. But
thank you.
I just don't like that. I think that once it gets out of our hands, then we lose control.
I learned that about you the other day on on an amendment. Any further discussion? Representative Brock Smith.
I just want to thank Representative McEwen for this good work and all that were involved. It's been a long time coming, and a lot of effort, and it's a critical effort for our coast and fisheries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? So adopted.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2784 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2784 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objection? So adopted. Okay, House Bill 3234, more shellfish. Let me open a work session on House Bill 3234. We've got some dash ones here. This is the, Missy, can you remind us, is this the appropriations part?
It is. Chair Clem, members of the committee, this is the companion bill to House Bill 2784, the Shellfish initiative recommendations, and this is the appropriations piece for the policies that they're recommending.
Vice Chair McClint, no.
Okay, how about,
sorry,
Mr.
Yes.
Chair, I move to adopt dash one amendments dated 3/15/17.
Vice Chair McClain moves the dash one amendments dated 3/15/17. Is there any discussion? Any objection? And so adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3234 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair McClain moves House Bill 3234 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objection? Off to Ways and Means we go. Okay. What we're not going to do is accidentally forget anything. We're still waiting on paperwork on 2099. So we've got two public hearings. Strange on the last day, folks, that we are hearing bills for the very first time, but we've got two. One, I'm going to have Representative Brock Smith tell us about. It was a priority bill of his. It came late. I thought about just sending it off to rules, but since we're sitting here anyway, we might as well hear about it and see if we can do anything with this. So let me open a public hearing on House Bill 3432. And do you have anybody else here on this one?
I believe Mr. Bovet is here on the bill.
Yeah. Rob and Daryl, do you want to come up as well?
And I'll just stay up here if that's fine.
Yep.
This is just a simple bill that is just really a fix. All the information is in the packet. It just gives the county surveyors a little more latitude on being able to do their work.
Okay, this is 3432. Mr. Bovet, you want to tell us about this?
You bet. Chair Clem, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Bovet, Legal Counsel, Association of Oregon Counties, here this morning representing the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, better known as OASIS. This bill is an important bill that is just a housekeeping bill. It changes one word in one statute, and it relates to the timing of when a county surveyor has to report a defective survey to OSBEALS, the licensing agency over surveyors. The statute currently requires that report to be filed on day 30. The problem with that is that in modern Oregon, it often takes longer than 30 days to resolve issues with surveys, and it doesn't make any sense to require a county surveyor to report a survey that needs fixing when they're still working with the surveyor on fixing the survey. So we're simply giving county surveyors discretion of when a report of a defective survey needs to be filed with OSBEALS, changing one word, the word must, to may. Good bill should pass.
Sounds complicated. Daryl, what do you got?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Daryl Fuller on behalf of the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon, the Professional Association representing land surveyors. This bill was originally scheduled last week. Mr. Bovet and I sat in the back of the room for a couple hours. You didn't get to it. I've enjoyed my time here in the last hour to change one word in statute. I just want to say, Mr. Chair, whatever I did wrong, I'm sorry. I'll do what I need to do to make up for it. This is just a simple one-word change in statute that acknowledges that due to the changing environment in land surveying, it does sometimes take longer to get something done than when the statute was originally written. This makes filing that complaint, if you will, with OSBEALS permissive rather than mandatory. So if the land surveyor or the county land surveyor thinks there's a problem, they can still file the complaint, but they're not required to if they simply realize that the surveyor is still working on the project. Again, it's one word change. We appreciate your support of the bill. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Representative Escoval.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does anyone have any history on why they required it within 30 days? There must have been a reason.
Chair Clem, Representative Escoval, goes back too far, so I could not get a clear answer on that.
That was before Daryl's time?
That was a compliment, is that right, Mr.
There you go.
Chair, Representative Escoval.
Did we get the other? Oh, any further questions? Okay, let me close the public hearing on House Bill 3432. Anybody got a problem going into a work session on this now? It'll be our first time of doing a public hearing and a work session all on the same day, I think. Ooh, it's exciting. Okay, let me open a work session on House Bill 3432.
Mr. Chair, 32. I move to have House Bill 3432 go to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 3432 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so adopted. Should we put this on the consent calendar, or do you want to actually explain the one word?
Sure.
Consent calendar. Any objections to the consent calendar?
Yeah, place for it.
Place it on the consent calendar. Okay, and let's open a public hearing on the bill being worked on the most this entire session that's still never had its first hearing, House Bill 2023. Call Representative Campbell up. Every week I hear, well, just a little more time, we're almost there. LC won't draft it the way we want. So we want to know. Today's the day. We want to know what you're working on. And you didn't even bring Representative Smith. I think he gave up on you long ago.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here on behalf of Umatilla Electric Cooperative. I would indicate that I think Representative Smith showed a certain amount of wisdom in not wanting to come up and talk about the bill that is in front of you today. Okay. It's been an exciting process putting together the Dash 4 amendments, and as I'll explain shortly, we're still not quite there, but we're much closer than we have been before. We discovered this particular issue. Umatilla Electric Cooperative passed over the 3% threshold of energy provision in order to become a large utility under the Renewable Portfolio Standard. That meant that Umatilla Electric has to either acquire or generate additional renewable energy for its customers as required by state law. And so we started the process of doing solar development. We got our first solar development down. There wasn't a problem. As we sought to do the second one, and you'll notice you've got some pictures in front of you of some lovely land, we wanted to put a larger solar panel out, and we found out that this land that you're looking at in front of, because there is a viticultural overlay in the Columbia Valley, the Columbia River Valley, that it counted as high-value farmland, which meant we had to apply for a Goal 3 exception. The real challenge we have is we need to get about 100 megawatts of renewable energy by 2025, which means we've got to figure out some way to build the solar arrays to accomplish that. And our choice now is either go through a Goal 3 process, which costs about $150,000 to $250,000 per application, which our members are paying, or we go with smaller 2-megawatt facilities, which we require about 50 of them. What we're trying to do is balance between making sure that we're building solar to meet our renewable portfolio standard, but not costing our members, and in addition to that, not having to get new infrastructure that goes over farmland. So we're trying to build larger facilities that allows to do that. The trick is not using up land that is actually available for farmland. So what we've been trying to do over the last couple of months is define a narrow exception for the placement of solar in this particular viticultural area that doesn't have any water attached to it. Part of our challenge has been trying to figure out how to define land and whether water attaches to it. Essentially, what the Dash 4 amendments do is it says if you have land that is in an exclusive farm use land within this viticultural area, that as long as there's no water attached to it, you can go through a conditional use permit to place the solar. It still has to go through the existing rule provisions for placement of exclusive farm use for solar placement. As long as it doesn't have the water attached to it that we've identified in the Dash 4 amendments. Now, understand, our members are farmers and irrigators, so we want to make sure that we are addressing their concerns of not putting this in areas where there is farmland that can be farmed. There is a couple of issues that we still have to address in the Dash 4s. One of them, and I need to give a shout-out to Emily Moss, because she turned around a legislative council opinion in very short order to clarify that this does not require any new siting regulations. The only provision that would have to be put in place is for the county to have rules to determine whether or not the particular plot of land we're talking about has the water provisions that we have in the Dash 4 amendments. Now, if it turns out that the folks who are concerned about that language want to make sure that that's there is not sufficient through the Legislative Council opinion, we'll work on making sure that we tighten up that language. The other area, there are two other areas of the bill that we still need to tighten up. One is around the definition of whether or not a piece of land has water within an irrigation district, and we're certainly happy to narrow that. We got that language in working with Water Resources Department, and so we're happy to tighten that up as well. And then the final provision that we need to tighten up is to make sure that there's a specific reference to the Columbia Valley Viticultural Area under ORS 193-300 sub 10 sub F sub C. Now, when the law was passed that laid the viticultural overlay onto existing farm use, viticultural overlays are essentially so that wineries can identify where their wine comes from. I don't think it was ever intended to be a farm use designation. But if you look on your map, you can see the area that this would affect. Under the state of Oregon, there's that kind of middle green area right up along the Columbia River there. That's the area that this specifically applies to. There was some discussion as to whether or not we should go beyond that. The answer is no. We want to keep this as narrow as possible so that there aren't any unintended consequences. Umatilla Electric Cooperative is unique in that we're the only cooperative that has passed over the 3% threshold, putting us in this difficult situation. And we'll be continuing to work with Umatilla and Morrill counties about whether or not there's anything else that they need, but it won't be handled during or within this bill. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have, and I do want to thank all of the folks who have worked with us many, many hours. They've been extremely patient for somebody who doesn't have a background in land use, and so in that, we have the Dash 4 amendments before you today, with the promise that if the bill gets to move out of committee and over to the Senate side, we will make sure that everyone is happy with the end result when it comes back to you.
Okay. Sorry. People are trying to still negotiate right up to the last second. My Lord. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I have gotten quite a bit of angst from some of my constituents over in that area. And part of it has to do with the ground itself and being in a water district, being a good farmland. Now, this picture that you took shows some big rocks out there in the field, and I would agree with that. But one of the other areas of issue that you didn't mention was the power generated there has to make it to a certain location. And so there's going to be a power line through there. And the power lines have been an issue over there. I didn't see anything in the bill that really dealt with that issue, but it is a concern. Now, in this picture that you sent us, it has big power lines in the background, so it doesn't look like it's that far, but if you're going to do a bill, one, I think it has to be clean in all of these areas, and that's part of my struggle too.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barreto, thanks for asking the question. Obviously, as utility with irrigators and farmers as our members, our goal is to try and put as little new infrastructure as possible. We're actually working with Umatilla County to figure out a way that we can work with them to make sure that we're placing these next to our existing infrastructure wherever possible, and where not, as close to the infrastructure as possible, because that's a concern of ours as well. Not only do we not want to interrupt farmland by putting new infrastructure, it also adds cost to our members to put up new infrastructure. That's another reason why we want to look at this exception so we can build fewer larger arrays and get them nearer infrastructure rather than the 50 that will be all over the place that will require us to put up new infrastructure that will cross farmland, and we don't want to do that.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Campbell, up to this point, has all of the co-op's power been purchased from BPA?
Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, I believe so. We may have some separate contracts. I know I've got Cindy Finlayson in the back of the room, so I'll turn and she can either nod yes or no, and then I'll know that my answer is accurate.
We buy some lines to go.
I'm sorry, we buy some market power.
She needs to come up.
You have to come up if you want that on the record.
I can say it on the record, too, well, but we can have her, too, if you'd like.
I trust Representative McEwen.
Vice Chair McLean, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Finlayson, and I represent Umatilla Electric. And, yes, we do have a small amount. They call it a high water mark, mm-hmm. and you're allowed so much power shared among the BPA folks that are allowed to have BPA power. And we do have some small market purchases already because we are growing very rapidly.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Witt.
Madam Chair, just a comment. We have a consumer-owned consumer-owned utility and virtually all public power. And I don't know why we put these good folks through all of these hoops. I really don't understand it. And I think if they want to build additional power facilities, fine, should be up to them, but to force folks to be doing stuff simply because they cross some threshold when it's a consumer owned and the folks are making their own decisions, I think the state ought to step out of the way. But anyways, my own comment.
Any other questions for Mr. Campbell? Thank you very much, Mr. Campbell. We have three other folks who want to come up and testify, and if you could all three come up now. We have Daryl Fuller, Marianne Nash, and Irene, I believe it's Giblin?
Gilbert.
Okay, thank you.
Daryl's not in the room.
Marianne, do you want to start?
Sure. Vice Chair McLean, members of the committee, Marianne Nash, here today on behalf of the Oregon Farm Bureau. We have been one of the groups working with Craig Campbell from the beginning on this bill. And certainly understand what he's trying to accomplish here. As Chair Klim alluded to, there's been a lot of iterations of trying to get the language right with legislative counsel. And on the current draft, we kind of had a question of making sure that the rest of the siting standards remain the same, even with this change. And I've just had a chance to very quickly read the legislative opinion that I think does help illuminate that somewhat, but I think just still have some questions. But as we've told Mr. Campbell, we're willing to continue to work on this as the bill goes forward, because we certainly understand what they're attempting to do here. We just want to make sure that the rest of the siting standards remain intact.
Okay. Thank you. Irene?
Irene Gilbert, La Grande, Oregon, and I'm here representing Friends of the Grand Ronde Valley and also Blue Mountain Alliance. We are opposed to this bill. Oh, and Representative Witt, I believe, I'm sorry, Representative Klein is gone, but Representative Witt, I believe, asked a question that I might be able to respond to, and that's about how much land has been lost because of picking away at land use planning. Between 2007 and 2012, the figures from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, National Agricultural Statistics say that Oregon lost 98,000 acres of farmland. So you're right, it's having a significant effect. I've provided a couple of long testimonies regarding this bill, and there are some things that I have concerned with just in terms of the lack of information that has been provided to you, some general statements. And one, it has to do with the photographs that you were shown with all the rocky land. That land has already been approved for an 80-acre solar development through Umatilla County. So it is an example of where you can ask for an exception through the county and receive it to build a solar. So there is a process in place right now where you can look at land that doesn't meet our vision of high-value farmland. And the another concern that I have is the cost that they listed for getting an exception, $150,000 to $250,000. I did get a hold of Umatilla County Planning Department and asked them what kind of fees they were charging for getting these land use exceptions through the county. They said they charge $1,000 plus the cost of distributing the materials. So all I can say is there must be an awful lot of high-priced attorneys that are working on these exceptions if it's costing them that much money to get this exception through. I can understand that the the one that they just put through may have been extra costly because it started out with one group asking for the exception. There's 5 acres of irrigated land within this 80 acres that they're talking about, which I'm sure complicated things. And then the original group kind of backed off, and Umatilla Electric independently took it forward. So that was probably as expensive as it's ever going to get. I still am questioning the figures that they gave you. Another piece of information that I think is lacking from their testimony is Umatilla Electric has sort of taken on the role of building transmission lines for other energy generators and having those energy generators pay the costs of the transmission line. Now, currently, there's a contested case going on because Wheat Ridge Wind Energy has contracted with Umatilla County, paying all of the expenses for the transmission line that will connect Wheat Ridge Wind Energy to the grid. They are purchasing none of that energy, and yet because of the arrangement that they've made, they're saying that the transmission line that connects Wheat Ridge to the grid is not part of the wind development. So there are a lot of problems, I think, with sort of manipulating the system where Umatilla Electric is benefiting from building transmission lines for other developments that they are not purchasing, not choosing to purchase any energy from, and benefiting from that. Now, they told the Umatilla County Commissioners that they have been approached by and are considering building several other transmission lines for solar developments that they are not building. And again, the problem this creates is that Umatilla Electric has the power of eminent domain. So anytime they're doing these transmission lines, they have the power to force other landowners to allow transmission lines to go across their land, whereas the developers do not have that authority. So I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes where Umatilla Electric has a major stake in having as many solar developments as possibly can be built in the area that they're in, and even ones that they are not purchasing any power for. It's convenient for the developer to have a group building transmission lines that can force landowners to have them, but maybe not so good for land use planning and for protecting farmland. The other thing, actually, the wind farm that I'm talking about is producing 500 megawatts of renewable energy. So I would think maybe they could rethink where they're getting their energy. Let me see here. I guess my concern with allowing more solar developments is they're looking at the area where the development is being built. They're not looking at the impacts of transmission lines, and those impacts can be greater than actually the development. I would welcome any questions. The other thing I wanted to say is when they talk about having 10,000 customers and they're representing them, I'm one of those customers, and I can tell you I'm in contact with many of their customers who are not supportive of this bill. So they don't speak for me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gilbert. I appreciate your testimony. Thank you both. Is Daryl Fuller here? Okay, thank you. At this time, then, we are going to close the public hearing unless there's any questions. At this point, we're going to close the public hearing. And this is on House Bill 2023. And we're going to stand at ease. I'll have a quick recess here before we can go on to the other work sessions. We're waiting on some paperwork.
Is this bill here?
Going to come back into come out of recess, back into House Ag and Natural Resources. Colleagues, this last bill, House Bill 2023, that we just heard about, I spoke with the sponsor of it, Representative Smith, and what he would like to do, because we really do think we're close on language, if we can just get LC to write it the way we're all saying we want it, he would like us to move it over to rules and try and get it done before moving it. So, and he knows full well the risk of that, but that's what he would like to do, and I tend to concur. So let me open a work session on House Bill 2023.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2023 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Vice Chair McLean moves House Bill 2023 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Again, intent not to kill it, keep working. Maybe somebody bribes LC with a donut, and then we get them to write it the way we want, or a cookie, gluten-free, and then we see if we can get it out of rules eventually. Okay. Any objection to moving to rules? Seeing none. Okay. Last but not least, House Bill 2099. Let me open a work session on House Bill 2099. We've got dash threes and dash fours. We've got paperwork back. Why don't we find out about the dash threes first? So, Representative either Power or McLean, do you want to tell us about these dash threes? I know they involve some agencies doing some consulting to try and make sure fish aren't going to be drastically affected, ODF&W and water resources.
So the Dash 3, which was just uploaded, I think, yesterday evening, if you didn't get a chance to read them, it creates a process by which municipalities who are caught in between this 2005-2013 date will go through a process outside of the permit to consult with OWRD and Fish and Wildlife to determine if they are going to have potential impacts to fish. And then they have to identify strategies for voluntary action to avoid or minimize those. Failure to do so would... Oh, and then they have to provide the OWRD with evidence that they have implemented these strategies or pay, in lieu of this consultation, $5,000 per month. So that's the
dash threes.
That's the dash threes.
Yeah, I think that's a really good addition. So how about a motion?
Can I make the motion? No, I think she did a good job of explaining. I'll just get
speak
the motion.
To it. Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash three amendments dated 4/17/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the dash three amendments to House Bill 2099 dated 3/16/17. A 4/17/17. Discussion. Vice Chair McLean.
I'm going to vote in favor of the dash three amendments, and I really feel really strongly that the cities and the agency are really recognizing the fact that part of our issue has been that there have been so many of these municipalities that have been waiting in the queue and have not really had an opportunity to really work out with the agency how they're going to handle what they've already developed of their water rights, and then also how they're going to handle their responsibility for the fish persistence. I think this gives them a way to do that, and it also puts them basically in a queue or in line where they actually have an opportunity to work on that. And so I think, again, it's trying to resolve an issue that's been going on 22 years. And so that's why I'm voting for the dash threes.
Further discussion on the dash threes?
I would just add Representative McLean's suggestion to allow these municipalities to float to the top of the heap and have their permits a little bit more expedited so they can get resolution. I think it was a good one as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you both for your work on this, too. I hesitated when you said, can I work on it? And because I know it's a painful thing after a year of it myself, but I really appreciate both of your work. Further discussion on the dash threes? Okay. Any objection to the dash threes? Not so adopted. Dash fours.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash four amendments dated 4/17/17.
Vice Chair McLean moves the dash four amendments dated 4/17/17. Colleagues, what I'll remind you of is the other day we had an amendment called the dash twos that we voted on and they failed. And what we had discovered right before the committee started was that they didn't affect just Hood River the way we thought they did. They affected many other cities potentially, and Water Resources had told us about that. So we killed the dash twos. We voted the bill out. We then called it back. We've since had these dash fours drafted, which specifically narrow it literally to just Hood River. But there is another issue with the way it's drafted that may be more cubic feet per second. So my intention, at least, is that we would still work on further narrowing on the cubic feet per second issue potentially, but I don't want to hold this bill up and send it to rules and die. I like it the way it is, but I am certainly open to, between now and the hearings in the Senate, seeing if there's a way to improve the situation with Hood River. I know this dash four is very important to Representative Johnson, and I don't want to hold it up any longer here. So I am going to support the dash fours. Further conversation on the dash fours. Representative Power.
I'm just concerned that, the compromise that the cities and fish advocates have been working towards is how to resolve outstanding water for municipalities between this 2005 and 2013 date. This dash four for Hood River would expand beyond the 2013 date and allow an entity that, has continued to construct outside of that window that has been at the center of the negotiations. For that reason, I'll be opposing the amendment.
For, Representative, Vice Chair McClain.
I am going to vote no on this, too, and it's for the same reason. I feel like we're trying to bring both sides of the party, together to really deal with this, and that it can. I think it can happen in the process that some of this can be worked on. And so I don't want to put another date and another construction, terminology that I think is going to get in and make it more difficult for us to conclude this work.
I am sympathetic. The problem I've got is Hood River started their construct $20 million project long before this issue got raised, and so I do feel like they're in that midstream situation, but I don't disagree with what you said either. So, Representative McEwen.
Chair Clem, is there some clarification that could be provided for me for the impact of not passing the Dash 4 amendment on the Hood River project? Because I'm not quite clear on exactly what happens if we don't pass the Dash 4.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chair Clem, members of the committee. For the record, Tracy Retton, League of Oregon Cities, and thank you for the opportunity to clarify. It came to our attention through, again, years of outreach to these impacted communities that Hood River, as we gathered information back about water usage, we hadn't talked about completion of construction. Hood River's completion of their project that they started the first phases of design in early 2000s was completed in the spring of 14. So they're about 4 to 5 months shy of our December 11th, 2013 date. And just as a reminder, December 11th, 13 is the day of the Court Appeals decision, which is why we drew that bright line. And we knew there was a potential that there would be folks that had done some development between the time we brought our first bill in 15 and the case, the court case date of December 11, 13. So they've talked to their representative, they've talked to their senator about that project and the $20 million investment, and again, was just wrapping up and finished completion in the spring of 14.
Yep, I understand. And Chair Clem?
Yes.
I understand that the project is complete. Water is flowing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the impact if we don't pass the dash four? What happens to that project?
So based off, Chair Clem and Representative McEwen, based off of my recollection of their situation, they had developed 11.1, I believe, CFS prior to December 11th of 13. There was an additional, I believe, about 15 or so CFS, and maybe Raquel is in the room, but she might be able to further clarify. I think their permit is for 25 CFS. And so it's that additional capacity that was completed and that their project would demonstrate. So it's the difference between that 25 is what I think their permit is and the 11 that they had done prior to December 11th of 13. So for them, that means that that quantity of water is sent over then would be sent over to ODFW for official fish persistence conditions on the permit is what that means.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to come back to Representative Power. So the dash three that we just passed puts a process in place where they have to voluntarily have a conversation about that, correct?
Mm-hmm. Chair Clem, Representative McEwen, the dash three amendments create that new process, but what they also do is provide certainty of the water used up until December 11th of 13. So for the situation in Hood River, what we're talking about is the water they used from December 12th of 2013 to the spring of 14. That's what the Dash 4 amendments seek to get at, is that the
the infrastructure existed, but the water wasn't flowing through the pipes yet. So they couldn't take advantage of the December 11th, 13th certainty that the Dash 3s provide. So that's why it's very specific to Hood River.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the Dash 4s. Okay. Let's have the clerk call the roll on the Dash 4s.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Power?
No.
Representative Brock-Smith?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain?
No.
Chair Klamath?
Aye. Motion passes. Bill's amended with the Dash 4s. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2099 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McClain moves House Bill 2099 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Power.
Just very quickly, I would have been a yes on the bill with the Dash 3 amendment. Thank you.
With just the Dash 3,
with
not the Dash 4.
With just the Dash 3, yeah. Not the Dash 4. Thank you.
Further discussion? Okay, could the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Power?
No.
Representative Brock-Smith?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain?
Aye.
Chair Klein?
Aye. Motion passes. Bill sent to the floor, and I will carry it. Okay. Let's pause for a second, make sure we're not forgetting anything. I think we're done, committee, with House bills.
2094.
Oh, 2094 is going to die death here. Sorry for those floating around waiting for that the whole entire time. Sorry about that. I was still negotiating, but we really do want the reserves to finish, though, soon. Really do. Really soon. Yeah, okay. Woo. Representative Brock-Smith.
If I may, Mr. Chair, while we're... I just want to thank you and the committee, but also yourself for running great meetings in Ag and Natural Resources. We've all collaborated, I think, on good work for Oregonians. I also wanted to take a minute to mention the 3429 that we're going to deal with in rules and appreciate your comments about that earlier. I, in no way, just for the record, am opposed to Measure 100 and what it does. I'm concerned about its overreach and how it could affect our fisheries and so forth. And so I look forward to watching it in rules, and if things aren't fixed, we'll, as the chair said, bring it up next session.
Okay.
I'm going to go get you that, and I'll bring it to you on the floor.
Okay, thanks.
Forget it. It's too late. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Representative Power and I had a nice little talk last night about the chaos that sometimes I like to do, which is just see what happens on a vote. And usually that never happens in this building. So I'm glad that at least somebody appreciated it. And with that, we will adjourn until Senate bill time. Thanks, Greg.
Soils bill?
Yep.
And all the one going for the
Yep.
And all the one going for